Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Okay, I'm just checking to see if everybody's tracking with me or elsewhere. Amen. And over in verse 28, the same thing. It says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, you hear this. As I'm reading this scripture here, I want this to be your testimony in 2016, that you'll not be weary and that you'll not faint. Amen. That you'll not be weary and that you'll not faint. Why? Well, you come aside, you spend time in the presence of the Lord. And, you know, in the presence of the Lord, that's where your strength is. In the presence of the Lord, that's where your answers are. Amen. If you don't have a secret place, you need to carve out a secret place and pull aside and spend time with the Lord. Like I said, this year. And you got 24 hours in a day. We all do. How are you going to manage it? How are you going to manage it? How are you going to begin your day? Are you going to begin it with God? Or are you going to begin with all that's going on in the world, what you got to do at work and all that other stuff? Take time. Talk to the Lord first. And then on top of that, listen to him. He might tell you something that'll help you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. That's what you call a relationship. Amen? A lot of times we go and they tell God everything. And we don't wait for him to speak back. Somebody said, I was in the presence of the Lord today. My question is, what did he say? Amen. What did he say? Because that's the thing that's really going to change things. And if he didn't say anything, guess what? Ain't much going to change. Because whatever he says, it's got everything in it, in itself, to cause it to come to pass. Amen. So, make sure, mark that scripture in your Bible. Go back and reference it. Why? Because God wants to show us things. He wants to tell us things in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Today, I want to continue where I left off on this past Sunday. As if you read your bulletin, your MCC connection, one of the things I stated in there, this month we will not have our annual faith for 2016 meeting. And wherein we have other people come. Now, you're not going to be shorted on any messages because I'm just going to preach on Sundays. So rather than doing it, you know, Thursday or Wednesday through Friday night, we're just going to share on every Sunday. And so you don't want to miss out on what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. And the Lord told me where the faith meeting was concerned to, in every January, to begin to talk to you and prepare you for the coming year. In other words, he said, to inoculate the people. Did you know, I was talking to my wife about this because, you know, my wife can give shots, you know. As a pharmacist, all the pharmacists can give shots now. And so I was telling her, I said, you know, I remember when they gave me, what was that shot? You said the smallpox shot? I was like, I think that mark is gone. She said, oh, no, it's still there. I looked in the mirror and sure, it's right there. I got inoculated. From what? And guess what? I never had the smallpox. Now, God said, I want you to inoculate the people for the coming year. And you know, if you get your inoculation shot, there are some things you never have to deal with. Why? You're inoculated. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so the Lord, as I'm seeking the Lord as far as, you know, what I should share, He said, just continue where you've been. And so I wanted to read, first of all, from John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Because today I'm going to be talking about faith for salvation. You know, I know some people say, well, I'm already saved, but you know what? You need a refresher. And also you need to be prepared to go tell some other folks. Amen. Because everybody around you don't know the Lord. Amen. and if the Lord tells that person or challenging them, say, ask them about, you know, their relationship with Christ and how can they have a relationship. Then you need to be ready to tell them, not just say, well, just come on, go with me to church. That's good, but don't let that be a cop out. You need to be able to testify for the hope that you have within you. And why it is that you say you're saved and you know that you're saved, and then you know all the benefits of salvation. And then also you know why you need to be saved. And so as we go back over some things here, I just want to make sure that we have our faith for salvation, because I'm believing God that this year you can have more opportunities to lead people to the Lord. Amen, somebody. Even if God had to bring them to your house. You know, one of the things Mary Smith, Mary and Bill, you know, they don't get out like they used to. But if you go to Mary Smith's house, Mary Smith is going to ask you before you leave, do you know Jesus? Every time, I don't care who you are. I mean, you Bright House man, she's going to ask you, Tim, do you know Jesus? And either the answer is simply going to be yes or no. And if it's no, then she's going to keep right on. She ain't going to ask you no more questions. She can just go ahead and start telling you about Jesus. And then she's going to say, you know what? Everybody needs to make a decision for Christ. And just a matter of moments. She'll do the Romans road of salvation. You know, but just in a matter of less than 3, 4, 5 minutes, she's given the person some information that the Holy Spirit's going to help them to make a decision about. And another thing, she always had a card, because we got some new business cards too, for the church. You get you some. I think they have some out on the table out there. And pass some of them out too. Let people know where we are right now. And she would always give people a business card also for the church, letting them know about Maranatha Christian Center. And she'd get excited. Now, Mary can't see much, but she can talk. Amen. She had to have one of these machines that you have to put stuff under to read. But I'm telling you, she can talk. She got the message down. And so we want to make sure we got faith for salvation, where our salvation is concerned. In John chapter number 3, Jesus is speaking to a man by the name of Nicodemus. The scripture said Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, verse 2, and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do except unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see. Everybody say cannot see. He cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, there's another realm other than what we see that God has ordained that we walk in and that we live in. Nicodemus said in verse 4, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. You know, Jesus said, you must be. He didn't say you, if you want to be. No, he said, you must be born again. And again, back in verse number 3, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, unless or except one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I began to look and I see the word except. There are 7 excepts, E-X-C-E-P-T-S, in the New Testament. And this one here that we read in John chapter 3, verse 3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 13, verse 1 through 5, Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Except you repent. And everybody, I hope you understand what the word repent means. To repent means, of course, first of all, the word R-E means to go back to. You know, you were created to live in the penthouse. Mankind was created to live in the penthouse instead of the outhouse. Or should I say, man was created to live in the penthouse and not the basement. We are acquainted with basement living. But God wants us to be acquainted with penthouse living. Because God created us to live on a higher plane than what we are born into and what we tend to live by. Because we live by and walk by what we see. In the natural, with our natural eyes. But God wants us to walk by faith and live by what we see from the inside and not just what's on the outside. Amen. So he said, except you repent, ye shall likewise all perish. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, it says, except you become converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. First one. Except you repent. Secondly, except you become converted. And then we read this number 3, except a man be born again, cannot see the kingdom of God. That's found also in 1 John 2, verse 29. 1 John 3, 8. 1 John 5, verses 1 through 14. Number 4, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's John 3, 5. Except you be born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You know, there's more to life than just paying your bills, raising kids, huh? Getting your car fixed, getting a new air conditioner, a new washer and dryer. There's more to life than that. Some people think, well, if I got all these things, then my life is complete. No, it's not. It's actually incomplete if you don't know him. For every man that don't know Jesus Christ, there's a void on the inside. And he'll try to do whatever he can to satisfy that void. Some people think it's money. But no material things will satisfy the void that's on the inside. That place is a place for God himself. Amen. Number 5, except you, Jesus said to some disciples, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Now, of course, we understand Jesus is not talking about his literal flesh, his literal blood. We just receive communion. We just receive communion. And we show that we have a relationship with him. Number 6, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Man, there are a lot of things that can keep you out. That's found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Then last, except ye abide in me. Found in John chapter 15, verse 4 through 6. Except you abide in me. Did you know the word abide means to be that we are sustained by him? We are kept by him. He's our life, he's our health, he's our strength. He's whatever we need. except you abide in me. John chapter 15, verse number 7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. This happens for people that are abiding in him. You know, people that don't know the Lord are just kind of half-stepping. This ain't for you. This is for folks that are abiding in him, walking with him. Amen. Somebody said, why you say that, Pastor? God don't like no part-time lovers. Just like I don't like no part-time lover. Amen. I like full-time. Now, you know, if that's what you like, that's what you have to be, too. Amen, somebody. Oh, praise the Lord. Got a little all right now out there. That's pretty good. John chapter 3, verse 15. John chapter 3, verse 15. So anyway, there are seven accepts. And I just want you to grab a hold of those things. Why? Because faith begins where the will of God is known. You can't believe God for something he hadn't promised you. If you can believe God for salvation, then evidently God had to say something about salvation for you to have faith for it. And once you see that and you abide according to what he said, then you can walk with the knowledge that I am saved. You know what? I never get up in the morning and ask myself, am I saved? I don't do that. Why? I know that I am because of decisions that I made based on what God said in his word. You will never hear me say, I don't feel too saved today. You know, when you walk in the light of God's word, there's some things that just don't come out your mouth. There's some things just don't come out your mouth, or they shouldn't. Why? Because you know better. John chapter 3, verse 15. For God so loved the world, I'll begin with verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? That the world through him might be saved. Back in verse 15 again, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, when we look at that, that was the reason for the crucifixion. Jesus went to the cross so that we don't have to perish. What does the word perish mean? To be lost. You know, there are a lot of people that are going to be lost. And the only reason a person would be lost is because they don't accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and continue to live for him. Some people think, well, it's just a matter of just making a confession and that's it. No, no. If you're truly converted, there should be some signs that you're truly converted. People say, well, I heard them make a decision once. Well, what'd they do afterwards? We can say a lot of things, but you have to action to prove it. Amen? Somebody say, if you say you're a Christian, act like it or else change your name. Don't be going around giving people false evidence of what a Christian's supposed to be like. In other words, our life should reflect that we have truly had an encounter with the Master. Amen. It should reflect that. And I don't want to, you know, there's a whole lot being taught on grace right now. And some people got cheap grace. They say, let's make a confession, then just go back and keep living the way you're living. Well, actually, you keep living the way you're living. You never made a decision for him. You just repeated what somebody said. Amen. Because to repent means to turn 180 degrees. And if you're still doing the same things you used to do, then you ain't repented. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. See, an encounter with God changes things. Why? But first of all, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, Jesus said, I am come that you might have life, that you may have Zoe, that you may have eternal life, that you may have everlasting life. And that life comes to dwell within you. Hear what I say? That life comes to dwell within you. Now, you need to learn more about this life. And sad to say, many preachers are not doing a lot of teaching on this life that we have. You know, some people want to make sure you got all your needs met and stuff like that, you know, and how's the family doing and, you know, and all that. And all that's good, but there's something deeper. Jesus said, I am come that you might have Zoe. Now, what is Zoe? Zoe is the very life of God. It's the Greek word for the word everlasting life, eternal life. It's that which the Father has. It's that which the Father has in himself, that which the Son manifested here in the earth, and that which the Holy Spirit gives to every man when he accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's a spiritual substance. The life of God comes to live within us. And hear this. The new birth is instantaneous and miraculous. But that's not enough just to have the new birth. There must be accompanied with mind renewal. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. You know, really, I shouldn't be trying to measure up to you. I should be trying to measure up to what's written. I'm supposed to be proving this. Amen. And my relationship with him and walking with him. And so, whoever believes in him shall be saved. Now, hear this. The word believe or believeth denotes the act, hear this, and process of faith. It comes from a Greek word, which is spelled, I won't try to pronounce it, P-I-S-T-E-U-O. It occurs 248 times in the New Testament. This use of the present tense indicates that faith must be continued to receive its benefits. Did you hear what I said? It must be continued. It's not just making a confession, one-time confession, and then there's no evidence to show that you are really received that. And I know some churches, they teach once saved, always saved. Really? That's all I'm going to say about that. Really? Like I said, Jesus is coming back, but some people, they say they're Christian, but they ain't living like it. I wonder if they really gonna make it or not. Did you know the scripture said God condemns sin in the flesh? Romans. He condemned it. Condemned sin in the flesh. Now, you know, oftentimes when you start talking about things like this and what God requires, not what man requires, not what this church requires or that church requires, when we start looking at what God requires, sometimes we start thinking about our relatives. So, I wonder if Uncle John really made it in. You know what? We're not going to say whether Uncle John made it or not, because that's done. When you leave and you get there, if you see Uncle John, you know he made it in. If you don't see him, you know Uncle John didn't make it in. But the main thing is you need to be responsible for what you hear and make sure you make it in. So, in other words, the word believeth is a continuum. It's not that believe, period. Because if you believe something, you act like it. It's just like if you love somebody, you continue to show it. You're not like this one guy, you know, his wife got real upset with him. And him like, he asked, so what's your problem? Why are you looking like this today? And she said, you don't ever tell me you love me anymore. He said, well, I told you on the day we got married. He said, if I change my mind, I'll let you know. You understand? It's continuum. You have to continue to tell people that you love them. Otherwise, they begin to think that you're using them. You know you got to tell the Lord you love him too. Sometimes the only time people talk to the Lord is when they need something. Praise the Lord. The word believe, hear this, it also means to be persuaded of. To be persuaded. Fully persuaded. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. I'll read that. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Gentile, to the Greek. For in it, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by what? The just shall live by faith. So the word believeth means to be persuaded of. It also means to place confidence in. To place confidence in. Another thing it means is the substance or convictions. Faith is the substance or conviction of things hoped for. It is the assurance of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. As I've said before in weeks past, you know, there's more than just this natural realm that we can see and move in. There's another realm, and we are part of that realm. Matter of fact, you are spirit, and you live in this physical body, and you walk and operate here in this realm. Also, it means absolute dependence upon and reliance in the word of God and of Christ. Absolute dependence upon and reliance in the word of God and Christ. You know, we've heard people talk about leaning on the Lord. You know, you can trust him in the hard spots. He said in his word, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. See, that's why I said, for me to stand up and say I don't feel too saved today means I really don't have a lack of knowledge to make a statement like that. Because he already told me, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you how often? Always, even to the end. So if God is with me, why would I say I don't feel too saved today? Why would I say I don't feel like God is with me today? Because actually, your five physical feelings has nothing to do with whether God is with you or not. You can't judge by your five physical feelings or senses whether God is with you or not. Your senses can mess you up, your five physical senses. Somebody singing a song, I feel Jesus. Now hear this. Now what happens when you don't feel him? Is he not with you? I said, is he not with you? Why do we know he's with us? Because he said so. Amen. So we don't live our life based on the five physical senses. We live our life based on what he said. Amen. And, throughout the scriptures, we find out God always told his people or whoever he was dealing with, I am with you. Continually. I am with you. You think of Joshua after Moses had died. God told Joshua, said, Moses, my servant, is dead. In other words, he ain't coming back. You know, there are people that we have looked up to for years. You know, they've been a great part of our life. When they're gone, they're gone. Did you hear what I say? When they're gone, they're gone. No need in sitting around crying about who's not here. Somebody said, Pastor, that's cold. Well, I'm just trying to bring you back to reality so that you don't wind up going to an insane asylum because of who's not here and not recognize who is here. I said, and not recognize who is here. Who is here? God is. God is here. Now, sure, we miss those that we have walked with and talked with and did all kinds of things with here on this side. But when they're gone, they finish. I know sometimes people say, that's crude. That's crude, Pastor. That's crude. But it's reality. God walks with you and live with you wherever you are, 24/7. And some people, I'm telling you, now hear that there's a time for mourning. But hear this. In the Bible, when you look at mourning, mourning is not something going for years. When Moses died, you know how long they mourned? 30 days. And after that, God said, get up, come on, let's go. Somebody said, God, that's cruel. God said, get up, come on, let's go. Why? Moses cut off. He's gone. Somebody said, well, I had a dream about him. I had a vision about him. I heard Moses say, listen here, don't get into submitting yourself to demons. Because you can press your way into stuff, start happening, and you can start hearing voices. Now, I don't want to get too far over in there. But hear this. You can do that. Listen here. Nobody should take the place of God in your life. I don't care how good a person they are. Because one day we all going to leave the earth. One day it's going to be over for all of us. Amen. I told somebody one day, I said, when I leave the planet, I want to create so many good memories with my wife that she don't even want to think about nobody else. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. Anyway, the word to believe and to have faith here, this also means full surrender. Ah, full surrender, yieldedness, and obedience to all known truth. Ah, did you catch that? Full surrender, yieldedness, and obedience to all known truth. You know what? God only holds you responsible for what you don't, for what you do know. He doesn't hold you responsible for what you don't know. You know, sometimes people, they're always looking for something new and they're not become accountable for what they do know. Amen. Full surrender. You know, when you become saved, that means you surrender to Him. You surrender to Him. And Lord, whatever you want me to do, that's what I'll do. Lord, wherever you want me to go, that's where I'll go. Lord, whatever you want me to say, that's what I'll say. Full surrender. When God tells you to say something to somebody, a coworker or whoever, then say it. Somebody says, well, what are they going to think? Who cares? You ever ask yourself, what does God think? Oh, my. It also means to trust wholly and unreservedly in the faithfulness of God. To trust wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, and unreservedly in the faithfulness of God. Did you know God is faithful? He is faithful. Jesus tried to get over to us how faithful His Heavenly Father was. I have a couple more of the definition of the word faith and believe. It means to give oneself over to a new way of life. People said, I am born again. Well, if you're born again, you're telling me that you're giving yourself over to a new way of life. And you're yielding to Him. And you're going to walk in the truth that you hear. I heard somebody say, you know what? If I don't go to church, then I won't have to be responsible for much. Well, you'll be responsible, first of all, for not going to church. Amen. Because the scripture tells in Hebrews chapter 10 to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. You know what? God ordained the church as the place for you to be spiritually nourished, to grow, to nurture relationships. He chose the church. He did not choose Panera as the place. He chose the church. And I know a lot of people, they come up with all kinds of things. Well, you know, we don't need no church. We can just sit here and fellowship together, you know. And it's great to fellowship, but that's not a substitute. That's not a substitute. Amen. Praise the Lord. The word faith and believe also means the whole body, that you receive the whole body of revealed truth. The whole body of revealed truth, that you receive it. Mm. Again, let's look and see what Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 15 again. I'm not going to take this too far today, but we're going to keep going and talking about faith for salvation. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Shall not perish. Means to be lost, to lose, shall not be destroyed. Mm. When we think of the word perish, it never means annihilation. Did you know you can never kill a spirit? A spirit is eternal. That's why we're going to live, we are alive in the body or out of the body. The body is not the real you. There is life after death. We're all going to spend eternity somewhere. You know, if there was a way to kill a spirit, don't you know God would have done that with Satan a long time ago? He's a spirit being too. Well, you can't do that. There's an eternal quality. And so we're either going to spend eternity with God or apart from him. And that is determined by decisions that we make while we're here on the earth. Amen. But the thing I want to focus on as I come to close now is this everlasting life. The life itself is eternal. I'm just going to read this here. Everlasting. It is unknown time, time out of mind, eternity. The same word translated eternal is the same word as everlasting. The life itself is eternal. Man's possession of it does not change its nature or existence. It is eternal whether man ever gets it or not. It is still eternal whether man loses it or not. It is like an eternal diamond. It is like an eternal diamond or anything else eternal. It always remains eternal and is only in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am come that you might have what? My question is, do you have that life? Do you have that life? If you have it, I'm teaching this today to make sure we don't have what I call cheap salvation. In other words, you run in, make a decision, and that's it. There's more that goes along with it. And I know sometimes because of time, people may do that and leave that impression that that's all that's required. But no, that's more that go along with it. Amen. You know, when you get married, you don't just hang out with the boys anymore. Just go when you want and just act like you ain't married no more. No, there's a change. Look at somebody said there should be a change. if you're married. Amen. Some people say, well, you know, I gotta do this and I gotta do that. Well, why didn't you hang out with them instead of marrying me? You know, you know, the ladies, you know, you don't just spend all your time with the girls anymore. Or with the other guys. Maybe friends, you know, spend all your time with them and you don't spend time, come home, spend time with your husband. You know, when it comes with the Lord, there's a relationship. Somebody say relationship. You act like you're related. Amen. You know, I see some people they married or they got married and then they keep living like they weren't married because of what they do. And of course, the person that's they're quote unquote married to, they ask themselves one day, is this person really married to me or what? Because they just kind of come and go and do whatever, and I never know what time they're coming home and all that kind of stuff. What kind of relationship is that? That's not a relationship. That's selfishness. God, I pray that we all grow out of any kind of selfishness. Amen. Hey, and that there be true love. So my thought I want to leave with you today is this relationship that we have with God. The common ingredient is the life that we have on our inside. What he has, we have. Amen. And we made a decision to follow him. Amen. Somebody said, really? Some people say, now hear this. Some people, when it comes to some things, they say, well, I didn't make a decision to do that. Like some people say, well, you know, man, I just can't get rid of, you know, being a whoremonger. No, you're into selfishness. Because you start following God, that'll change your whoredom. Amen. It might have quiet in here this first Sunday. I say this as I wrap it up. My wife told me something that said something the other day. We were just riding along talking. She said, you know, everybody not ready for you. She said, because when people come to our church, they have to be ready to change. Because you're not by playing around, fooling around and making excuses for this, that, and the other. Oh, the Lord understand. You know, the flesh is weak and all that. You don't play around with that kind of stuff. I said, no, Jesus didn't either. You know, I asked this question. How long is it going to take you to get it right? Amen. And that's the question we have to ask ourselves. How long is it going to take us to get it right? When you make a decision and commit to it, stick with it. Live for him. Now, the result of your living for him is that other people is going to see your life. And God's going to use that to speak to other people. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So if I walked in, hear this. If I walked into a room or into a place or wherever, where they said there's all Victoria's Secret models, it had nothing to do with me and my flesh. You know what I tell my flesh? My flesh, hey, you have no voice in this situation. Amen. Did you know that? Why? Because I'm committed to Christ. Are y'all following me? Just because opportunities present themselves, you don't change. Because you know who you are and whose you are. Amen. Glory to God. Having faith for the salvation. Let's stick with it. Let's represent him. Let's put him on display. And when it's all said and done, when your time here on earth is finished, you stand before the Lord and you hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Oh my. Thy good and faithful servant. Bow your heads right where you are. Lord Jesus, as we come here into 2016, we have 51 more Sundays in this year. And we purpose in our hearts to live for you, just as you lived and died for us. And just as you are always there for us, we purpose in our heart to always be there for you. Interrupt our life, oh God. Interrupt things that we have been doing that you are not comfortable with. Because wherever we go, we carry you with us. We purpose in our heart that we rid ourselves of selfishness by your Holy Spirit and by your word. For you said, we are clean by the word that you have spoken to us. And Lord, we choose to abide in you. You're the vine, we are the branches. That which flows in you, flows in us. So we're going to walk uprightly, we're going to talk right, treat people right. Lord, we commit ourselves to be all you call us to be. Repeat after me, dear Lord, I commit myself in 2016 to live for you the entire year, to draw closer to you so that I may be of greater service for the kingdom of God. Satan, I renounce you and all that you stand for. I choose Jesus. Jesus Christ is number one in my life. I follow him all of my days. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, a decision has been made. Let it be more than just repeating what Pastor Clyde said. I've become responsible because the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside, when you walk along the way, he'll talk to you. He'll share things with you. Listen to him. Obey him. And guess what? All will be well with you in 2016 in Jesus' name. Amen. I say it again. All will be well with you in 2016 in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.